Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. My name is Scott. I will be your host for the next hour here. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a special show today coming to you on Wednesday from my special Panera Bread Studios in Columbus, Ohio. Yes, that's right. I said Columbus, Ohio. We are broadcasting live from Columbus. As I had to come down today to work with my media partners over at True FM Media. We did another sample video for the upcoming live shows in September. So very excited to be here in Columbus. And I wanted to bring you a special extra bonus show this week because I'm talking to two guys that have a fantastic documentary that they're bringing to OutFest this week. Billy Cliff and David Milburn are producers doing some great work with Here TV and a lot of other places. And they have put together this fantastic documentary. It is called The Long Road to Freedom. Advocate celebrates 50 years. Advocate is part of it. And it starts all the way back in 1967 when the Black Cat Lounge was raided by police, 2 years before Stonewall, actually. And what happened how the gays mobilized and took to the streets afterwards. So it starts there, it goes through marriage equality, it goes through adoption, it goes through trans issues and trying to have equality. And it's really well put together documentary. It's going to screen tomorrow night, that's Thursday, 7 p.m. at the Motion Pictures Academy of Arts and Sciences in Beverly Hills as part of the OutFest festival going on right now in L.A. for all these great films happening. So I wanted to make sure we got this out to you. I wasn't able to talk to the guys until last night after the other show. So I wanted to make sure we put it out tonight for you. So we are going to play a little tape that I recorded last night with Billy Clift and David Milburn. They are the producers of this show. And it's really a fascinating documentary. I was able to get a sneak peek of it. And I really enjoyed every second of it. I think there are some tickets available. It's going to be a big red carpet. People in it are like Dustin Lance Black and so many other great people, and a lot of them are going to be coming premiere tomorrow. So hope you'll check it out. But I'm going to play that, and then come back. We're going to talk about a big new road trip that's going to be happening this summer in just 2 short weeks from Ohio to Palm Springs, California. So listen up. Thanks for tuning in on this very special Wednesday Left of Straight show. Here is Billy Clift and David Milburn right here on the Left of Straight show. All righty, guys. My guests today are bringing us the world premiere of their documentary, A Long Road to Freedom. The Advocate celebrates 50 years. It's narrated by Laverne Cox and has music by Melissa Etheridge. And this Thursday, July 19th, at the Academy of Motion Pictures, Art and Sciences in Beverly Hills, it's going to be premiering to benefit OutFest, which is happening right now in L.A. The documentary is a call to action to all minority groups and their causes. Think Black Lives Matter and female empowerment and Me Too and trans visibility and inclusiveness. I can't wait to hear all about this project. Please welcome to the show for the very first time, producers Billy Clift and David Milburn. Guys, how you doing today?
We are fabulous.
Absolutely. Scott, thank you for having us.
And we're just ecstatic.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for creating such a powerful piece of film. This documentary is amazing. We're going to talk all about it in just a couple of seconds. Let's do a little background on you guys, though. Producing this great show, we talked a bit off-air. We'll start with Billy, you first here. You've worked with Jason Stewart on such great things as Like Father, which has been just doing crazy in the film festival circuit. You work with Terry Ray and My Sister's So Gay. Your comedies, Baby Jane and Hush Up Sweet Charlie, are amazing. Talk about your foray into filmmaking. What got you interested in the entertainment business?
Well, I come from a total entertainment background. All my family are involved in it, and I basically grew up here in Los Angeles. So it was kind of like, I remember being like 16 or 17, and they would say, well, what are you going to be? Are you going to be an actor, a director, a writer, a producer, or whatever? I mean, there just didn't really seem to be any other option, and I didn't even think there was any other option at the time. I did end up going into doing some acting as well as some modeling when I was young, but there was a point when I was 20 that I thought that I couldn't be pretty forever. So I better do something solid, like become a hair and makeup artist for the film industry. And that's what I did until many years later when my dear friend Elizabeth Montgomery passed away. I kind of did a lot of reflecting on what I really wanted to do and who I really wanted to be, and not to leave this world at any time without any kind of regret. And I had always had this great fire inside of me to be able to tell stories and direct them and just kind of control the world and see if I could make people laugh or cry or whatever. And I finally gave myself permission to do so. And the first thing I did was Baby Jane. And once it got out, fortunately, it got reviewed by Variety and so many different other publications, and they were actually great reviews. And I was like, well, maybe I can actually do this. Because I did test myself, and I knew that if I wasn't any good, I would just go, fine, I'll just go back to what I know. But I took it as a craft and worked with doing hundreds of music videos and just to perfect my craft. And here we are now with this something that I never thought that I'd do, is this monumental piece, this documentary. And, of course, I have to thank people like my dear friend here, David Milburn, and Here TV for coming in when I had this idea to make this doc. And they came in right at the beginning, and they backed it, and they believed in it, and they gave me a carte blanche to do what I saw in my head, what I thought and what this should be like, with just such respect and kindness. And David and I have just been having an amazing time working together and making this doc the best it possibly could be.
That's fantastic, and I'm excited that I'm now once again 1 degree closer to Elizabeth Montgomery, one of my favorite actresses of all time. I actually went to school with Dick York's son in West Covina.
How funny.
I kind of was 1 degree before, but now I'm double 1 degree away. How amazing was she to have as a best friend? Oh, my gosh.
She was one of those people that you feel fortunate and honored that you had them in your life, and that you could call them a dear friend. She taught me so much as a human being because of her great respect for others and her kindness, and how she would treat everyone with the same level of kindness. I mean, it didn't matter who you were and what you were doing. She treated you exactly the same way. And she, I mean, I can remember us going to La Dome, and she would remember the person who parked her car's kids' birthdays, and she'd bring a gift. You know, it was that kind of level, you know? And that's also old school Hollywood.
Right. I love that. Like I said, Dick York I met a couple times. He was definitely in failing health, but his son was such a sweet and charismatic guy. So that's just awesome to hear about Elizabeth. And David, you've both been an actor and a producer. You were associated with one of my favorite movies of all time, Gods and Monsters. I love Brendan Fraser. I love myself a little bit of Ian McKellen in that. I want to hear all about that. And you, of course, work with Jason Stewart and I love that Now What television series had some of my favorite actors in it. Talk about your career a bit.
Well, thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate that. I did start life as an actor, doing commercials as a kid, and became the youngest member of the Actors Studio, studied with Lee Strasberg in New York. Went to Northwestern and got that under my belt, and then I'd never been west of Iowa, so I thought, well, maybe I should go west of Iowa and go to Los Angeles, and I quickly got a year's contract on General Hospital opposite John Stamos, playing the character of Lance Hurd, and he was Blackie, and I was Lance Hurd, his best friend, and I really... wanted to do more. I moved into guest starring, then I moved into feature films and movie of the weeks, and I loved all that. I've played everyone's good husband and bad husband on Lifetime, depending on the scripts. And I had the fortune to produce a charity event called the Ribbon of Hope in tandem with the Television Academy, and we got an Emmy nomination for it. And it was awesome. Programming called The Ribbon of Hope, which highlighted HIV and HIV awareness programs in television. And we got an Emmy nomination, and we lost to the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade. Thank you very much. But it said to me, I said, well, maybe I do have other skills. Maybe I am a producer as well. So I was fortunate to have Hear TV around me. So my partner Paul Collishman, who is CEO of Hear Media, said, David, why don't you start producing and writing and directing programming for us? So I did. Speaking of Terry Ray, I worked with Terry on his and my sitcom called From Here On Out, with the great Juliette Mills and nice. Julie Brown and a whole host of gay celebrities, or we call them gay-lebrities, you know. But that was six episodes, and then I was, you know, the light of my life working with Billy Clift as a writer-director. I produced his film Hush Up, Sweet Charlotte, and was able to act in it as well. And I think I became a lover of all things Billy Clift. I think he's an amazing talent out there, undiscovered. But after this documentary, I think he will be, you know, out of my price range from now on. I really believe that. But so Hush Up, Sweet Charlotte, and then we just finished a project which I'm really proud of called Falling for Angels. And Billy and I collaborated on one episode, and then Billy wrote his own episode and directed it, and I wrote my own episode and directed it. But it's 6 half hours that Hear TV got on board, and it looks at various different diverse couples throughout Los Angeles. Each episode is a different town. Billy did Silver Lake. I did Bel Air. There's Lemet Park, there's Koreatown, there's Boyle Heights, and then sixth episode is Malibu, where everybody from all the leads, all the couples from every previous episode, come together for a wedding in Malibu. And it's nearing 2 million views now, so it's really taken off. I'm so thrilled to be working with such talents again. In this documentary with Billy Clift, who just has this style and vision that I've not really come across. I mean, maybe Bill Condon. I mean, Scott, you mentioned Gods and Monsters. I remember I played Sir Ian McKellen's doctor in that film, and it was just a scene between Ian and myself, and I saw the vision that Bill Condon, who's gone on to, you know, I mean, Beauty and the Beast, Kinsey, and Chicago, and all these huge films, but I saw the vision that he had. He was the captain of that ship, and he stood up to Sir Ian McKellen and said, you know, Ian, it needs to be this way. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm working with Ian McKellen and you know, Bill Condon. But Billy has that same kind of through line, that same kind of vision that he delivers in such a wonderful, compassionate way. So, and Now What, thank you so much for thinking, bringing up Now What. That is a series that the Here TV network said, you know, we need a new series. And I had been working with them as a development executive, and I wasn't liking a lot of the stuff that was coming onto my desk. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to sit down and write something I know our viewership will enjoy. So I've written 16 and directed 16. Billy Clift, another collaborative effort, shot them and edited them. So we get to work in that capacity as well on Now What. And I'm really pleased with them because I have people coming up to me and saying, oh, my God, that's me, or that happened to me. And that situation was exactly what happened, you know. So it's thrilling to have that kind of connection for that series.
Nice. Well, they are very cool. And we just put another level of connection between the three of us. We were talking off air. I just interviewed a couple weeks ago Ryan Carnes, who, of course, is Lucas on General Hospital and, of course, played with Mink Stoll out of Billy's Hush Up Sweet Charlotte there. So we just have connections all over the place, guys. It's wonderful.
There you go.
Don't you love that?
Well, let's talk about how this came to be. It sounds like, Billy, this was your passion project, or at least you thought of the project at first. Tell me what brought you the idea and how you were able to get David on board.
Well, it really started after our latest president. Once he became president, I've never been a really hard activist, so to speak. And David and I are very similar in the same way. But I felt that I had to do something, but I didn't know what that was. But I thought, well, I mean, I'm a filmmaker. What can I do? And the story of the black cat I'd been hearing a lot about. And that you know, that evening on in at the Black Cat in 1966
right.
New Year's Eve 67, there was this huge raid where, you know, one difference between this raid and many others is that they crap out of them. I mean, bursting spleens and just it was just a mess, and it really took the gay people around here. They just had had enough. And so 2 months later, they organized, because it took them this long to really decide what to do, because it was so fearful to do something like this, and they had a protest. And this protest was according to Alexei Romanov, about 400 or 500 people, and they were gay and lesbian and allies, all carrying signs, and no one knows about this anywhere in the world. There's a few. And I just, that was the beginning. I thought, all right, well, we always need to learn our past to be able to assist in our future. I said, that's something I can do. If I can start out here and I can start moving. And I must admit, an idea was to put down our gay history to the best of we could in such a short time. For being 2 hours, that's a short time to put our whole gay history. Well, David and actually Paul, the head of Here Media, they both, it was very soon after me running around and starting to interview people like Alexei Romanov, who's the only person that we know of that was at that protest, heard that I was doing this and called me up and said, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, and it wasn't soon after. We had a dinner at the Black Cat, and both of them said, we want you to do this, and David wanted to produce it. And I was just like, well, yeah.
And you know, the natural fit was The Advocate, because The Advocate has been the a media record for the last 50 years. They were the only magazine or media outlet that was there back in 67, and it actually was founded out of the Black Cat raid. So it was natural that we hang our hat on the advocate because they've been there for the last 50 years. So it was a nice fit, and bringing Billy's style and compassion on board was just icing on the cake, and off we went.
And
that's
here we
great
are.
Because I really, I was just talking about it last month when we're celebrating Pride Month. A lot of people forget that it's not just Pride Month, but it's also LGBT History Month. And I think now that Pride has become so global and we have Palm Springs Pride in November and other prides in July and some in October, I think the history really needs to be brought out more because we, as Billy was saying, with their current political climate, a lot of this history is, or our future is trying to get wiped away, but I think we need to learn our history. I honestly didn't know too much about Black Cat, and I actually worked right on the Glendale-Silver Lake border there. I always just think of Stonewall, and this seems like 2 years preceding it, so it's a very interesting
exactly.
start off of the story. I thought it was amazing.
And you know what? I think New York was just New York was New York back in 1969. So they had the PR machine running and going full steam. We here out on the West Coast, you know, even though we predated and started this movement, this is what this film brings to light. And that's not dissing New York. Stonewall was amazing, but the Black Cat Raid was 2 years prior in '67.
Right.
And they all really
did. And then you decided.
There was somebody, you know, Alexei Romanov and a few others, even though I don't always have it in the doc, they mentioned that they all did really feed off of each other. People knew it was such a small community, the gay community in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York, that they kind of knew
right.
what was going on, that there was a rumble happening. And so part of the reason why Stonewall did occur, even though it was a little, obviously a lot of difference, but there was an anger. There was that thing that was coming up, just like it was happening in the women's movement and the black movement. And
the Vietnam War protests. I mean, 67, 68, those times were just rife for the electricity of protest and breaking
right,
out,
right.
you know.
Yeah. So here we are again. Basically.
Mm.
And one of the biggest things that I keep on saying that I really, really realized, and I must admit I didn't realize this until I finished the documentary, was the fact is that the part that I hoped that this would give people hope, clearly see that those people back in 67, 68, 1970, go on and on and on, is that they didn't have really any allies. They didn't have any money, but yet the amount that they accomplished and they continue to accomplish, I mean, being so fearful of just leaving your house or being kicked out of your house or being, thrown
sure.
out of your job or being, of course, put in jail just because you touched somebody at a bar. I mean, we don't, on the whole, we don't have that now, and we have allies. We have money, and we have people in power that are on our side.
Right.
So it is such a great difference so that when we are feeling so, I'm hoping that when you see this documentary, those people who feel so overwhelmed is that when they see that and that those people accomplished so much and they're going to be in the audience, which is amazing, that we actually have so much power and it's just coming together, putting that power together
right.
and moving forward. We can do so much.
And we have to do so
yeah,
much, as we said, you know, the current political climate, we are facing a situation where the hard-fought wins that we've, the civil rights that we have gained for all people are at danger, is coming to danger time of having those taken away. And that's not even to say the rights, the transgender rights that we are still fighting and the fact that 32 states
yeah.
people can't get work. And, there's still a good fight to be fought, but we also cannot lose ground as well.
Right. And what I love about the documentary as well is it hits all of our hot-button issues that we really need to preserve and protect. We talk about coming out. We talk about AIDS, gay parenting, gay marriage, trans acceptance. You have some amazing people talking in there everyone from Dustin Lance Black to Dave Cause, Armistead Maupin, Bruce Valanche, Greg Louganis, Connor Franta, Gavin Newsom, Adam Buska and Jeff Parsley, Caitlin Jenner. Talk about the process of bringing all these people together. You have some amazing stories in there.
Yeah, and I must admit, I still, like, pinch myself knowing that what we accomplished and what we put together. It really does blow me away. And then to have, on top of all of this, to have, at the end of the day, to be able to have a conversation, as David and I did, with Laverne Cox's people and basically convinced them that she must be our narrator and that it happened, blows us both away. I mean, on behalf of David, but I know it's true.
And Melissa Etheridge coming on board, you know, to show you what grassroots. I mean, Billy and I were just like, well, where do we go now? This and that. You know, it was like a snowball. I mean, people came on board, and then we kept socializing it and saying who's on board. Bob Greenblatt, the chairman of NBC, called us and said, David, I hear you're doing
a documentary.
I want to be a part of it. And we said, okay, we'll shoot you on the new old set of Will and Grace, you know. And there we went to the new old set of Will and Grace and shot the chairman of NBC. So, I mean, the fact that people were jumping on board is so thrilling, and it shows that there is a need for this type of film right now, you know. I mean, Ivy Boutini, the great activist, I mean, she's like 94 or whatever. And to come back to what something Billy said, she says at the end of the film, you know, during the call to action, denouement, if you will, at the end of the film, she says, do what you do, whatever it is, just do what you do. If that's not a call to action, Billy's a filmmaker, I'm a filmmaker, we did what we do. And the fact that it's resounding so beautifully at this time, in this moment in our history, is just fills me up. I know, Billy, I know it does you too.
Oh, yeah. I'm blown away, and I'm still pinching myself, going to Outfest and talking about it to others and getting people excited. I still can't believe it, and I'm sure I'll be in awe all the way to that moment where I'm sitting in the theater as it starts, and I'm sure it'll be quite emotional.
I bet. I mean, I'm so excited for you. Outfest has become such a cinema must-see in queer film representation lately. I'm excited to see that it's part of that this year. We talked about it's going to be tomorrow night, Thursday, July 19th, at the Academy of Motion Pictures, Art and Sciences. Are there tickets available? Is it invitation only? Do you have anyone from the film that's going to be there with you?
We have many, many people in the film that have already RSVP'd. We have a red carpet. We have a party afterwards where you'll get to meet these people. And there are still tickets available. And I must say that Outfest has really honored this film because it's the only film that they placed in the Motion Picture Academy in Beverly Hills. This is the only film of the entire Outfest schedule that's in that theater. And I might say that it's the only film that Variety mentioned when Variety covered Outfest. So there is a wonderful buzz going on, and I'm hoping that we have to see how the film plays out, but people across the country will be able to see this film as well.
Exactly. And yes, there are.
Let's talk about that for a second, Billy. I see that you guys are planning on like a 20-city release. Sorry if I'm talking over you, Billy, but talk about after the festival and what's going to happen. I saw some notes that there might be on here TV and then have a 20-city theatrical release. Is that still in the works?
There's a lot still in the works. And we really have to, you know, these things have a life of their own. You know, what we know we have right now is a solid, wonderful film that speaks to you know, the LGBTQ and beyond, as Laverne Cox says, plus community. Those are our allies and our straight friends. and Black Lives Matters and women's rights. But what we do know is that we have a message, and this message is so needed right now. So we're going to let it roll out the way it naturally will roll out. But all signs are pointing that it's going to be seen by a lot of people.
And how long did it take to pull this all together from start to finish?
I would say approximately a little over a year, maybe almost a year and a half. And that was it was a constant work on it. I mean, I actually got a dog a few months ago because I realized that I'd been sitting so many hours in front of my computer that I needed something to force me to get up. I know that's a
funny.
Terrible reason to get the dog, but I did want to get a dog. But at the same time, I went, okay, this is the perfect time to do that. I'm at home. It'll make me get up, and it's always good to get up and take a moment of what you were doing anyway and let that sink in anyway. And but you just get so mesmerized by what you're doing that you do need to get up. So my rear end really needed a break.
And we also had a wonderful archival treasure trove from The Advocate, which, again, was there the entire 50 years. But we were able to get into those archives and look at the story points that would help tell the story that we wanted to tell. And that helped flesh out the piece as well. And, Billy, you should talk about your reenactments because I think they're just spectacular.
Thank you. And I did. I wanted people to, and I didn't want to overdo the reenactments, but I just thought that at the beginning, I really wanted to set the tone of what it felt like in 1966, 1967. And so I did do just a little bit of reenactment of those moments. And I can remember somebody when I was showing just the guy putting on his makeup, and somebody said, "Oh, where did you find that footage? My God." And I went, "Okay, all right, you think I found that footage. I did it right then."
Oh, my God, Billy, it was found footage. It's not your style. It's found footage.
I found it.
It really does bring though, because as the narration goes on and you talk about it, because you realize the silliness of they're getting arrested for lewd conduct for a 2 to 3 second kiss, man on man, and you talk about the disparate between the 260-pound policeman and the 105-pound bartender, and that visual really brings it to life, showing the guy getting in drag, almost a la Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. It was very theatrical and very cool, I thought.
Thank you. Thank you. I just thought that it might help ride it home for the audience. And I, as you see, I didn't go much further because it can start being corny. But so I was just very gentle and subtle with it and just treat it with respect. And I'm happy that it worked.
Looks like it's just going to be a fantastic show. Now, is Advocate featuring you guys, your reciprocal, do they have an article featured on it yet, or has it already come out and I missed it?
I'm not quite sure what they're doing with it. We have a PR person on representing.
It's such an
homage
to them. You think they'd want to be pushing it pretty hard for their...
Well, I know that they're attending Thursday, and I'm sure they'll love it, and they'll do what they want to do. But we do have a PR person on the film, and I think what's really going to get the word out on this film is literally that word of mouth. We've sat through it, obviously in creation and all, but I mean, I was watching it on Monday night, creating the final print, and I still was in tears. I was in tears. It is such an emotional ride for those people who have lived all of it, part of it, some of it, but we can all relate to it. And that's what it just kind of, there's a stream of consciousness in this film. It's as if one person is telling you, and they say, "Scott, sit down here. Let me tell you what happened in 1967. And they continue the story all the way up to 2018 and transgender rights and resist marches and this and that. But it's told, that one story is told by, you know, 29 different people.
Sure. It's an amazing piece of film work, guys. I'm very impressed with it. And thank you so much for letting me see an advanced copy. I'm going to just plug it in at 7 o'clock my time on Thursday, pretend I'm sitting in the crowd with you. I'm telling you. I'm excited for it.
All righty. We will. We'll just set you right there. We'll not let anybody sit on you or anything.
Well, this is an amazing piece of film work. Hopefully, like you said, we're going to be able to get it out from there. I think the buzz is going to be remarkable from it. The Outfest is known for finding winners and losers and things of note, and I think you're going to definitely be one of the films of note. What's coming on the horizon? You said you're looking for a couple new projects. Billy, what do you have coming up?
Well, I'm working very hard on a biopic on my cousin Montgomery Clift. I think that's one of my goal pieces, as well as all sorts. I'm also working on a show with Here TV called Underground, and it has actually one episode already on Here TV, and I'm just about to put out another episode of that in San Francisco, and that's starring Charlie Harding as our host. It's a travel show, a red version of traveling, learning some of the underbelly, the fun underbelly of different cities.
The real places that you want to go to, Scott.
Exactly.
Love that.
Hey, one thing that we're, again, Billy and I are working on that we're so excited, and it's an offshoot of the documentary. There was so much rich material that through Billy's interviews he was able to glean from these folks that Here TV is creating another show called Heroes from Here, which will be the stories and the tidbits that didn't make it into the doc that are just as tasty as what did. So we're real excited about that at Here TV, to be working with Billy again.
Yeah, just wonderful to hear. I mean, these people really did give me full stories of their lives, some of them. And so what's nice is we'll be able to do these really kind of mini docs with people like Ivy Bucchini, who just gave me all sorts of amazing information, and Jerry Bernard, who is the social secretary of Obama. He gave a lot of fun information that no one would know about working with Obama, and on and on.
So, Gloria Allred, you know, she tells a wonderful story about a case she took on where two lesbians were being touching each other, holding hands during their Valentine's dinner, and Perino's restaurant, which is no longer, said, "You must leave. You must leave. You cannot show affection like that." She took up that case and proved to the courts that Perino's had let a celebrity ape sit in that restaurant and eat, and they go after two lesbians on their anniversary, you know. Stories like that, unfortunately, you know, the doc is it can only be so long, but stories like that will be contained in Billy's new TV show called Heroes from Here on Here TV.
On Air TV. Nice. And what about you, David? Are you going to be in front or behind the camera anytime soon or anything besides working
on
this project?
I'm going to continue to work with Here TV because I just love those folks so much. They're creating stories that that I want to see. I've got 6 more episodes of my series Now What, which I wrote and directed. I'm working with Billy on Underground. I'm working with Billy on Heroes of Here TV. Heroes from Here, I think we're going to call it. I don't know. Have we decided, Billy?
I don't think so, but I'm sure. That's
okay.
Heroes from Here sounds really cool.
Right. yes, I'm still an actor, and I love to act, but I just love painting with all the colors that a producer gets to paint with as well. So it's a nice marriage for me.
That is amazing. Well, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the Left of Straight Show. Again, guys, tomorrow night at Outfest, being premiered at 7 o'clock at the Academy of Motion Pictures, Art and Sciences in Beverly Hills. Can they get tickets out of the Outfest website, or where do they find tickets at, guys?
Exactly. Outfest will have still some tickets available, so hurry up, though. But they'll be there, and, you know, it's a nice big theater, so that's why there's still some available. But I'm sure they'll go fast because people love to do things at the last minute sometimes. So come on down.
Right.
Let's have an amazing experience, and I'll sit and have a journey with these amazing speakers.
There you go. And does the film have any social media we can follow at this time?
It's basically handled through Hear TV, so you can go on to Hear TV and find the trackings of this wonderful piece.
Nice. Well, guys, thank you very much for being part of the Left to Straight Show. Stay in the line for me. We're going to play out a little song here, guys. We'll come back and wrap up the show in just a couple of minutes. We've been talking to Billy Cliff and David Milburn all about this fantastic new documentary. It's called A Long Road to Freedom. The Advocate celebrates 50 years, narrated by Laverne Cox, music by Melissa Etheridge, great stories and background for people, again, like Dustin Lance Black, Dave Koz, Armistead Maupin, so many more. I've been so fortunate to see an advanced copy of it. You need to find this documentary, guys. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes. Alrighty, guys, we are back. We are back, guys. A big shout out to Billy Cliff and David Milburn. Thanks so much for taking the time last night to call in and talk to me. If you are in the LA area tomorrow and would like to see the premiere of this fantastic film, you can go to the Outfest website. That's outfest.com in LA. I'll go to the Outfest LA website, look for some tickets. It's going to be a big star studded premiere. They're going to have people who are in the movie. They're going to have a red carpet. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know our buddy Alexander Rodriguez is going to bring his new TV show Glitter Bomb there. So it's going to be lots of fun. So head on over there. Thanks again to Billy and David. We're going to try to get them out in Palm Springs next month if we can here. Well, guys, I want to wrap up today. Thanks for listening to a very special Wednesday Left of Straight show. I want to wrap up by talking about the big gay road trip that's leaving 2 weeks from yesterday. So it's pretty exciting stuff. We're going to be doing all sorts of travel. We're going to leave here in Northeast Ohio from to hello. The internet just crapped out on the middle of my show.